Welcome to this edition of the School Marketing Podcast. My name is Randy Vaughn. I'm one of the marketing twins. As well, I author the blog content at yourschoolmarketing.com. Today's podcast episode features an interview I had with Richie Escovedo. Now, Richie's the Director of Media Communications for the Mansfield ISD. But for those of you who are not familiar with Mansfield, it is just within the Dallas-Fort Worth metro area, just outside of Arlington. And so we're familiar with one another only through Twitter and Facebook, even though we probably live, I would suspect, no more than 20 minutes from each other. We've never met in person, but through the joy of social media, I really get to benefit from the things that Richie shares from his work in media and communications there in the public school. But also he shares a lot of information, and as you'll hear during the interview, a lot of information that he gleans from being a part of the different organizations that he's involved with, the PRSA here in Fort Worth. And so Richie has just a wealth of experience. He's a communications and PR professional. He's got experience in educational and nonprofit settings. I know he specializes in communication planning and branding and identity as well, community engagement, and of course, media relations. A couple of reasons I wanted to share Richie with you as a part of this podcast was a couple of the features that he did on his blog really highlight the importance of PR for you as a school professional. And I hope that you'll learn a lot from the things that Richie shares. And so I share with you an interview that I conducted recently with Richie Escovedo. Thank you, Richie, for joining me for this episode of the School Marketing Podcast. Your current position in media and communications over at the Mansfield ISD, a public school, gives you plenty of credibility for this audience. But as well, your previous position had you at a private school here in Fort Worth. And so I thought it'd be interesting just to start with maybe you sharing some differences and maybe similarities between working in the public school versus private school.
Well, you know, you bring up an interesting question related to the differences and maybe similarities between private and public education. You know, as you pointed out, prior to starting in Mansfield ISD, I was the Director of Communications for Nolan Catholic High School in Fort Worth for about 5 years, starting back in 2001. And the interesting thing about looking at it from both perspectives and, you know, being able to step back and take a look at the private and public education, you know, there are, quite frankly, a lot of similarities that kind of jump out at me. Both have school boards or boards of directors. Both have, you know, your typical leadership, superintendent at the public school level, and private school level, typically like a president or some sort. You know, fact is, you know, I worked at a high school, and, you know, students, high school students in public school or high school students, and, you know, it's still, you're still dealing and educating with students and that age. Of course, internal and external influences that play a factor in the communication aspect for a school. Some of the obvious difference would be your tax dollars versus donation dollars. But if you think about it, both when dealing with funding and funding realities, either through private or public, there's still expectations that come along with those things. And schools and private schools and that can kind of wade those waters of expectations, both from an internal and external perspective, will do well, I believe, from a communications and public relations aspect.
Well, I would certainly agree with that, Richie. For those of you who are new to Richie Escovedo, you can find him on Twitter at Vedo, which is the last four letters of his last name, V-E-D-O. Richie, one of the things that caught my attention on Twitter one time when you wrote about a case study over on your blog, which I think is worth a read, and we'll share that address at the end of the podcast. It's a case study involving the student protest. Now, because of the nature of that and some of the personnel that it involves, we won't go into all the details and have you share any of that. But just from the standpoint of a school and the interaction with students, and maybe put this in maybe the crisis PR arena, those unplanned things that go on in PR that really schools need to be aware of. They need to learn a lot from you about monitoring what's going on and what's being said in social media, but then how to react to it and how to turn what could have been a disaster, I guess, certainly PR nightmare, for these unplanned things. How do you stay on top of things like this? I just wanted to share with, for you to ask you to share with the audience a little bit about this, this interesting end of the school year that you had last year.
Well, yeah, we did. We had an interesting end to our school year a year ago, back in June 2011. We had approximately 100 students from one of our high schools. They decided to hold a peaceful demonstration at our central admin building. It couldn't have gone better for us. I mean, as student protests go, it was actually it worked out okay for us. But and I really believe the reason it did was because we were aggressively monitoring the conversation and knowing what was going on.
I wanted to interrupt you for a second. You said you aggressively monitored the conversation. I think that's a great phrase, and I think it's probably new to a lot of people. So I guess what I'm thinking when I hear that is really just pay attention and listen.
If you're not listening, you're missing out on an opportunity to capture the conversation of what's going on with your school. There are so many tools out there right now that, you know, lend themselves to, as I heard put it a few years ago, that, you know, you just grow bigger ears. And these online tools that can help you listen into the conversation. What ended up happening is the students, they tipped their hand through word of mouth and social media. They were interested in wanting to take their disgruntled selves and go protest at there at the high school. And that was a bad situation for us because it was the last day of school and it was also finals day. And so thankfully, they opted to move the protest from the campus over to admin. Well, we knew what was happening because they were sharing it on Twitter, and they started a hashtag, and somebody started a Facebook page.
I think you're right. Just imagine, had you not been listening, and yet all of that would have still been going on. It's so important to really pay attention.
We were monitoring the conversation. We listened for mentions and problems and topics related to our districts and campuses. And you know, once they put it out there and said they were going to be and when, I was able to tell one of the local news radio stations, and they told me, "Hey, we're hearing that there are 300 kids over at your stadium." I said, "Actually, no, it's about 70, and they're not at the stadium. They're going to be over at one of a park right down from admin, and then they'll make their way over to." The only reason I knew that was because we had been listening in and monitoring the conversation and tracking what was going on.
I think what you're really saying is it's important to be informed by listening. I mean, can you only imagine if you hadn't been?
Had we been blind to that, had we opted not to follow the conversation and keep up with it, you know, it would have been a complete, I think, disaster for the reason that, you know, it would have been a surprise. It would have been something that, you know, we couldn't have prepared for or expected. Since it was an expected movement, we use our social media and online monitoring to as early warning devices, so that, you know, I can go to our leadership and say, here's what's happening, here's what's going to happen, along with what we were hearing from the campus, you know, through word of mouth, kids tipping off people. I mean, it turned into we stayed organized, and, you know, so by the time the students were here at admin, you know, we were able to provide the information to the media, and did stand up interviews and gave our side, and they, you know, did, and it ended up working out just fine.
Well, and it went fine because you were intentionally monitoring that conversation. What's the last takeaway from this case study, Richie?
If you're not monitoring, you're gonna miss out. You're setting yourself up for failure.
Well, I hope every school will listen to that word of advice. If you're not monitoring, you're gonna miss out. And you're setting yourself up for failure. I'm not sure you could say it any more plainly than that. Richie, you mentioned in your monitoring probably some tools out there that you use to do this. For schools that are unfamiliar with how to do this, what tools did you use?
Well, at that time, for monitoring, I was doing a combination of Google Alerts, Twitter using Twitter search and through advanced search, you can do Boolean search strings. So I had multiple, keywords tracked together. And then I just started a Google Doc and placed, placed these links in there as media was coming. I was able to, pop those links in. So we had just a kind of a ready-made document to be able to show, okay, here's what happened. Here's how we handled it. Here's who we talked to. We were able to keep up with our key messaging and make sure that all that was available. All of these tools really just allowed us to kind of work a little bit smarter.
Well, I couldn't agree more. They do help us work a lot smarter. In 2012, what tools are you using now?
Last summer, I went to an online monitoring news media and social media monitoring. I use Burrell's Loose and their Engage one-to-one, for paid monitoring and tracking, and it's a good tool for me. But I've tested out some other ones. I kicked the tires on Radian 6, Meltwater, and there's some other really good ones out there if you're looking for something that you need to want to pay. But again, not everybody has a budget to do some of those things, and you could actually do quite a bit through Google Alerts, Google Reader track. You can make your own like social monitoring dashboard through Google Reader in combination with Hootsuite or a TweetDeck. I use TweetDeck daily and just kind of keep up with things as the conversation flows.
Well, Richie, again, I want to encourage everybody to follow Richie on Twitter at Vedo. That's VEDO. Richie is a PR professional. I imagine not only from a monitoring standpoint, but I imagine that Twitter is a really huge tool for you, interacting with maybe in networking with certainly education, school related followers, but also in the community, different influencers or journalists. I suspect Twitter is one of your premier tools in social media, isn't it?
Absolutely. When we first kind of started in venturing out in social media tools for the school district, the very first thing we did was start a district blog, and then after that came the Twitter profile, and it has grown, and I don't know, something like 3,500 followers, which is pretty decent for a school district, compared to some other districts. But it's the engagement that it's not the followers, it's the engagement, it's the retweets, it's the at replies, and so forth, that I can tell people are listening. The thing is, in addition to just running the school district's Twitter profile, I run my own, of course, have my own Twitter handle, and I get a lot of conversation, local media, they know that they can connect with me on Twitter, and I'll get questions, and I've even pitched through Twitter. I don't have to, no sense in writing a press release when I can send something to a media friend via Twitter, and they get going and get a news article running that way. I mean, there's so much you can do with it. I mean, it's easily one of my favorite tools from a professional standpoint, and just quite frankly, it's pretty fun from a serendipity standpoint of the neat things you can do and keep track of events and news and what's going on through hashtags, through Twitter chats. And from a professional development standpoint, I think communication and PR professionals should, in my opinion, experiment if they haven't already.
I can imagine there's probably a few in the audience who are maybe have some doubts about Twitter. Understanding the terminology is one thing, but the pressure of using Twitter to represent their school, that's pretty intimidating. Would you recommend somebody before they getting into it, maybe professionally, maybe trying it out personally? What is your thoughts about that?
If you are engaging and using Twitter as a tool for yourself first, then that kind of lends itself. It's an easier transition than to use the tool then for your organization, for your school. because you sort of get the nuances of how the conversation flows, and it's not a live streaming chat. Not everybody's on at the same time, and you just kind of test things out for what's going to work best. But through Twitter, we've been able to do some good things.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that information. I know you guys are doing some great things down there in Mansfield. And speaking of, I know a lot of people listening to this may still be new to social media and use of Twitter, and I appreciate your practical suggestions on how to get started with that. Now, let's turn it a little bit to, because a lot of people will say, well, part of my job is getting out into the community. And I wonder if you could talk about, in terms of networking and professional associations that you're a part of. I know you're heavily involved with one particular one in Fort Worth. Talk about how you integrate that together with your social media, not as a separate component of your job, but how does it work together?
Well, I think when talking and thinking in terms of professional development or networking and community relations, that's an aspect of a communications and public relations professional's job, depending on what the expectations are for that organization on that professional. If you're expected, I remember when I was at Nolan, there at the private school, the thing was, I was the one that went either with or on behalf of the president to events, chamber events, or if we had to get, there was luncheons, we were hosting events or things like that. There's an opportunities there. I'm also I'm involved with the Public Relations Society of America, the Fort Worth chapter, and so I've been on the board with them for many years now, and being able to network with other PR professionals to get a feel with what's going on in their industries. They may not be in education, but there might be some elements of tools or tactics and strategies from healthcare that I might be able to pull in and use in education. Or there might be something interesting from an independent practitioner that would be pretty beneficial for what we're doing in education. There might be obviously, corporate communications. There's a lot of honestly. There's really a lot of some really good similarities. Not everything is going to be. Sometimes we get holed up in education and trying to hear and talk with what people in education. But I'm of the opinion if you can check other industries, check other aspects. In the communications and marketing field to know what else is going on there. And so honestly. As a professional, being able to grasp the concept of adaptation and change, as a professional, to be able to say, things are going to be different. Things are when they change. Being able to roll with the punches and get ahead of the curve on some of these things. As the social media tools were coming about, I'm very happy to see this now. We're starting to see a much greater push for measurement and public relations, and so as some of these things kind of flesh themselves out in the industry, it'll be important for professionals to pay attention to some common language we use for public relations and measurement, and so that we can move beyond press clippings and add value equivalencies and things like that. We can really start to show some business value to what we're doing in public relations.
Well, let's have a little fun here at the end of the podcast. Richie shared recently at the beginning of the baseball season this year a post that I thought was unique. I hadn't seen anything like this before. It's talking about the roles and functions of public relations professionals kind of through the lens of baseball. Now, Richie and I are both fans of the Texas Rangers, who are having a great season this year. We're on our way, we hope, to a World Series championship this year. So Richie and I follow each other a lot through that. But I was just intrigued by your approach to the baseball metaphor. And I thought you could share a little bit. If you'll go through this blog post, you can see he goes through every single position, down to even designated hitter. You talk about, I'll read one from the pitcher even. You said the pitcher is the player who throws the baseball from the mound toward the catcher to begin each play. with the goal of retiring a batter who attempts then to make either to make contact with it or to draw a walk. Now, in PR, the pitching role is one where the professional attempts to garner publicity or attention through effective media relations. And you go through all the positions, and I thought maybe you could just tackle a few more for us, maybe a two or three more that you found interesting, and share with us and share with other school professionals something about how you view some of these roles and functions of PR through the lens of baseball.
Okay. Yeah. That was a fun piece to put together, and was, in honor of the baseball season. And, you know, of course, my favorite team, the Texas Rangers, like you, this is a great time to be a Rangers fan. But, it's not always all serious and, you know, doom and gloom and crisis. And there are some things that, I like to put together something a little fun, and that was a cool thing to put together. Like, for example, catcher. So the catcher, obviously, is positioned behind home plate, and the catcher, he sees the whole field. So therefore, he's the best position to direct and lead the other players in a defensive play. So in public relations, this is a role of strategy. So like a catcher, the PR professional sees the big picture, where we understand that actions will lead to specific reactions. Another infield position at first base. First base is a player on the team playing defense who fields the areas nearest first base. In PR, this is the role of the first response. The initial response to problems and crisis will make or break the situation. And kind of what I touched on a little bit earlier related to adaptation and change, I think that can be seen through the position of shortstop. You know, shortstop often regarded as a really dynamic defensive position. So naturally, the PR role is one of adaptability. The one constant thing is that things change. And it's, in my opinion, it's up to the PR professional to be aware and to keep up with the broad and shifting landscape of the PR profession, media, and organizational industry.
Well, Richie, I appreciate that perspective. And I think it's worth everybody's read to go back and read all the different positions about the comparison between baseball positions as well as the roles and functions of PR at your school. Hey, man, I appreciate you being a part of this. I know a lot of people have learned a lot, and I really encourage you, if you're listening to this, to follow Richie on Twitter over at Vedo, V-E-D-O, and read some of the things on his blog. I mean, the case study is invaluable information, and I hope you'll take away from this the importance of really aggressively monitoring the conversation that's going on. Hey, Richie, I appreciate you being on this episode of this school marketing podcast. And until the day we actually get to meet face-to-face, thank you for joining me on this podcast.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity, Randy, and I look forward to continuing conversations with you further.
Thank you to Richie Escovedo for joining me on this edition of the School Marketing Podcast. You can follow Richie's blog at nextcommunications.blogspot.com. As well, you can follow Richie on Twitter at Vedo, V-E-D-O. If you'd like to suggest a topic for a School Marketing Podcast in the future, or if you know of someone who would make a good guest on our podcast, we'd love to have those names. Just go to our website, yourschoolmarketing.com, and click on the School Marketing Podcast button at the top right-hand corner. There's some links there to follow, and you can suggest those names and maybe those topics to us, and we'd love to have those for upcoming editions of the School Marketing Podcast. Again, my name is Randy Vaughn. You can follow me on Twitter and join our Facebook page, all about private school marketing, all of those links, or you can find over at our website, yourschoolmarketing.com.